Hello, everyone. Hope you're having an amazing day because we're here to make it even more amazing. So we have a special event today with Ocean Protocol, and we're here to talk about the latest updates in our ongoing partnership, the latest updates for their Predictor dApp, and much more, of course. But before I go ahead and introduce our guests, I'd like to start the event with a couple of small updates from our side. So last Friday was a special week in review from our side. I had Harry Roberts, our technical product manager for OPL and Sapphire, invited, and we spoke about ETH Denver. So I suggest you check out the recording on our YouTube channel. Also last week, we had a very special event with Journey and the Day. We deep dived into our roadmap for 2024, and it was a really, really, really nice event. So you can find that on our YouTube as well. In case you haven't checked out our academy in a while, I suggest you go to the Blockchain Advanced section because we have a couple of new lessons there. And I know a lot of users have been asking us about the hackathon winners from Denver. I don't have an exact date, but I can tell you they will be announced very soon. So I know we had a lot of cool projects submitting entries, and as I said, we'll announce the winners very soon. Okay, so we can kick off the event for today, and I would like to welcome our two guests for today, and I'll let them introduce themselves. But yeah, we have Matej from our side and Trent from Ocean Protocol. Welcome, guys.
Hey, man, yeah, happy to be here.
Hello, great to be here.
Okay, so for the format of the event, I have prepared a couple of questions for both of you. And before the event, we have shared the form in our community, and we have a lot of great questions from our community. So first, we're going to go over my questions, and then we can jump to the questions from the community. And my first question of the day would be for Trent. And could you elaborate on the purpose and structure of Predictor, and how users can engage with the platform?
Sure. So, and overall, yeah, great to be here. I'm Trent McConaughey, co-founder and basically CTO of Ocean Protocol. Predictor is a product built by the Ocean Core team. And in it, it enables people to run AI-powered prediction bots or trading bots on crypto price feeds to earn money. So that's the one sentence summary. There's a lot to unpack, but the heart of it is you're able to run bots and you can earn money. And then what's going on under the hood, there's really two types of users that you can be. You can be someone who is, well, running a prediction bot, or you can be running trading. In a prediction bot, you're basically going to leverage your AI ML skills to basically try to predict, will the price of ETH go up, down, or down 5 minutes from now? And you predict it, and then you submit that prediction on-chain onto Sapphire. And if you're correct, you make money. If you're wrong, you lose money. And you do that every 5 minutes. Now, of course, you can do it without a bot, but it would get very tiring very quickly. And of course, you can do it without AI too, but you'll probably be wrong. With AI, you can get accuracies, you know, 51%, 53%, 55% and more. And that's enough to make money on, right? That's alpha. So and basically that's being a predictor to submit, and then you get paid by the buyers of those signals, which are traders. And we have data farming to incentivize people to submit predictions, accurate predictions. So what happens is, these predictions that get submitted get aggregated. So let's say 10 different people submit their predictions for, you know, whether Bitcoin will go up or down 5 minutes from now. Those get summed together, stake weighted summed, to create an aggregate prediction. And then that signal is purchased by traders. So this is the other actor in the ecosystem, is traders. And they purchase this signal for alpha, for trading, right? You could be a very naive trader where you buy the signal, and if it says price is going up, you buy and sell 5 minutes later. And if it says price is going down, you sell and then buy back 5 minutes later. That's kind of a very basic trading And if there was no exchange fees, you can actually make money on just that. And then the higher the accuracy, you know, the more rapid your profit, if you will. So that's the summary of Predictor. It's a means to run AI-powered prediction bots to earn money, predicting crypto price feeds, or flipping it around, you can be a trader and you run a bot to do trading. And we have, you know, off-the-shelf tools for people to run these bots and stuff too. And you can learn more if you just go to predictor.ai, with Predictor with two O's. Thanks.
Yeah, but I really love your platform. And for everyone who hasn't checked out Predictor yet, I can tell you they have a lot of documentation and things to get you started. So it's very welcoming for beginners. But yeah, okay, my next question would be for Matej. So Matej, could you provide insights into the role of our native token, of the Rose token, in supporting Predictor's growth, maybe including some details of the data farming incentives program?
Yeah, sure, Mika. Same here, happy to be on this space with Trent. Matej here, the BD manager at Oasis, as you probably know me from the past. Speaking about Rose in relation to Predictor, Rose is, you know, the native token of the network, so you can't really use Predictor without having Rose, right? This is how you pay for the transactions, for the submissions, and actually Predictor has a very key role here in driving, you know, the use of Sapphire with, you know, submitting predictions every 5 minutes. So I would say that it's a very symbiotic relationship here, where we enable, you know, the privacy aspect that are needed for Predictor to run in a fully decentralized on-chain manner. And at the same time, you know, Predictor really utilizes our native, you know, network and the token. And I think the data farming incentives that Ocean put together actually are quite good at solving, you know, the chicken and the egg problem, where you usually, you know, where we have here the relationship between the predictors and the traders, you know, who comes first. Predictors should make predictions, but if nobody's buying them, you know, why would they make predictions? At the same time, you know, traders don't have anything to buy until they see what's their how predictors are doing, right? So with data farming, I think it's really it's really thought out incentive program, where you incentivize predictors to start making predictions, and from that you know, statistics that you can see how well they're doing, you know, traders then come and start buying those prediction feeds, and then you have that infinite loop. But I think, yeah, data farming really well supports that, and that's why we also dedicated a portion you know, of Rose tokens towards the program to help bootstrap, you know, the predictors growth, which I think maybe it's not even needed by looking at the numbers. They're doing really well. So yeah, I can't wait to see what happens this year.
Yeah, I noticed the transaction volume has really spiked on Predictor, and the user adoption as well. So yay, it's a very successful dev. Okay, my next question would be for Trent. Trent, could you tell us what factors led to the selection of Sapphire by Ocean for providing privacy infrastructure for Predictor?
Sure, my pleasure. And just a quick comment on about volume too. So, you know, we launched Predictor in September last year in beta, and 1 month later in production. And it's basically a new type of app, right? It's not quite a traditional prediction market, because those are one-time predictions over many months. Instead, it's a prediction feed where, you know, people are submitting predictions every 5 minutes. So with this new type of app, you know, that hadn't been done before or anything, it's now risen and grown exponentially, such that there's now volume of 35 million a day. So it's really been growing. I remember us being very happy when we hit, you know, $10,000 a day back in, I think, early December, and then it went to 100, and we're like, wow, it's just keep rocking and rocking. So it keeps growing exponentially. So daily volume, and this is mostly on people staking and unstaking right now. It's got some volume, you know, healthy volume on the buying and selling, but it's the staking right now. And this means that predictors are playing their game to get better and better at predicting. And of course, the more money you make, the more accurate you are, if you're predicting, the more money you make. So people are totally incentivized to be more and more accurate predicting. So I just wanted to, you know, give a brief note on that. So then to the question of why did we select to use Oasis Sapphire chain? And the answer is about just over a year ago, we started doing the initial technical spikes, tech spikes for the predictor product. And we knew we wanted to take these individual predictions and make it where when people submit the individual predictions, they need those predictions need to get aggregated, and then the traders need to come along and buy it. But those individual predictions, they couldn't, and ideally everything is you know, handled on chain. We don't have to do any special DevOps or anything, and so on. But of course, most chains are transparent. So let's say we put this onto Ethereum mainnet or Polygon or something. Then when the predictors would submit their predictions, people could come along that are trading and they could just you know, query the chain and get those predictions directly, right? So that would no one would bother buying because they could just see the predictions transparently. So you can't have it, you know, that doesn't work. Or if let's say that the chain, maybe it somehow hid those predictions, but it would still have to do compute in order to create the aggregate prediction. And if that was also running on the chain in some non-shielded fashion, then anyone could just simply run a validator of an Ethereum validator otherwise, and then do that compute themselves and see it. So we really needed privacy of the individual predictions that got submitted. We needed privacy of the compute to do the aggregate prediction. And then the final aggregate prediction also needed to be private, except for when people come along to buy the predictions, right? So those are the needs. And we experimented with actually a lot of different technologies. We were playing with fully homomorphic encryption. We were playing with various TEE approaches on-chain, off-chain. The HE, of course, was also on-chain, off-chain we played with. Looking at, you know, multi-party compute, many, many different things. And there's a lot of actually pretty cool technology out there, and some of it quite mature for different pieces of the puzzle. However, because we have these, you know, several steps in a row, you can't, you know, many of these technologies would be a good point solution for, you know, step X, but we have step X, Y, and Z that we all need to cover together. And there can be private keys or other things that leak in between, you know, and that's the challenge is how do you, you know, have something end to end where it's really clean, where you don't have leakage of the private thing in between. And so we started iterating with Sapphire and the Oasis team, and we saw that, you know, we could do it all end to end on chain, right? The submitting of the private individual transactions privately, the compute on chain with Solidity, which was also a requirement for us, Solidity. And then finally, the purchasing of the data token, sorry, the purchasing of the final aggregate feed and using that. And by the way, that's using Ocean data token technology, right? Which we've had for a few years now. So all those things are on chain, on EVM chain. And that's what, you know, we tried it out with Sapphire testnet and our tests, and we were very happily surprised by how clean and smooth it was compared to our other prototypes using some of these other technologies where it was sort of a lot of duct tape and baler twine to kind of make it work. And we were really worried about, you know, information leaking out. So in the end, you know, we could do everything on chain with Sapphire, and Sapphire is the only EVM chain in production, or at least was then. And as far as I know, nothing else has come to market yet. There's, you know, many coming down the pipe in this upcoming year, but that means that Sapphire will have been, you know, live in production for a year in the meantime too. So yeah, we're quite pleased. You know, the thing has been live on chain now, like mentioned, for 6 months, and we're quite happy with that. And, you know, roughly 1 year total of iterating with the Oasis team. So that's why. And the summary is Oasis Sapphire with its confidential EVM enabled Ocean Predictor to ship without privacy worries. And we thank you guys for it. We're very grateful. Thank you.
And we're very happy to know that everything is running smoothly and that our engineers' hard work is put to good use. Since we're talking about collaborations, could you give us, and this question is for both of you, so could you give us more details regarding the recent token swap between us, between Oasis and Ocean?
Maybe Matteo, I'll let you go ahead and then I'll fill in any extra if needed.
Yeah, thanks, Trent. I would say that, you know, us being sort of like the underlying infrastructure, you know, that's crucial for Predictor to be able to run in the Maryland setup now, You know, it's definitely good that we align as organizations as well. So we don't, you know, like it kind of helps Ocean, you know, and be more at peace, you know, with a more tight connection with us and us as well, right? We see the benefit of Predictor on our chain. We see it as a very good product. So that's why we believe that, you know, in the future, potentially we can do more even on the product side. So why not then have, you know, that skin in the game where, you know, Ocean Foundation holds some Oasis tokens and we hold some Ocean tokens. And that way, you know, we both benefit from, you know, the both projects succeeding. That's how I see it. You know, it's still early in the space, you know, so you have a lot of projects that shut down. Like now we're more in the bull market area where things, I think, are moving in the different direction. But let's say in the bear cycles, you know, we have things shutting down, and to be able to be more confident in the partners, you know, because crypto is like Legos. And this is really good analogy. You know, nobody's trying to build everything, but everybody's trying to be good at that one thing and then take the pieces that they need from other projects that are focusing on that specific topic. So I think here, as we build those Legos, it's good. Even, you know, with Legos, Lego always makes sure that you intertwine the pieces well together so it doesn't break up. And same here, right? We want to be very well intertwined with kind of the strategy, the vision, the goals, for both projects to be able to succeed.
I think you put it very well, Matej. Yeah, overall, simply to align the interests of the organizations, the core teams, driving the protocols, given that we have, you know, synergy at a very good synergy at a product level. So this helps to align the interests at economic level as well.
And that, like, I noticed there's a new Rose Ocean pool on Illuminex. How does this contribute to the collaboration between our projects?
I can talk to this. So it was mentioned earlier, of course, to use Predictor, you do need to have Rose tokens to pay for gas, right? And you need to have Ocean tokens when you submit predictions, because when you submit predictions, that you have to stake against it. You have to put your money where your mouth is, because otherwise people could just submit random predictions all they want. And, they would have no skin in the game and the accuracy would be probably terrible. So you really have to put your money where your mouth is. And we do that by every time you submit a prediction, you have to stake. If you're wrong, your stake gets slashed. If you're right, then you earn. So that's the heart of it for the Predictor mechanics. And that is with Ocean Token, naturally, you know, where Ocean Protocol, et cetera. And it also fits, of course, with Ocean smart contracts for data tokens, et cetera. So basically, when you're with each of these transactions, submitting predictions or, for submitting predictions, then it's using Rose for gas and it's using Ocean for the staking. And also the rewards overall are in Ocean and in Rose. And if you're a trader, you're going to be buying the data feeds, spending the money in Ocean and then paying for gas in Rose. So really three different places, right? Whether you are predictors or traders, plus the data farming are rewards on top. It's using both Ocean and Rose. So when so that's, you know, the needs for Ocean and Rose. Then you have to ask yourself about, you know, people who want to become a predictor or a trader, what does the onboarding look like? And so with Rose, you know, Oasis has provided several ways to get Rose. You know, you can send it over from Binance or even bridge it over from other chains. And with Ocean, we've had a bridge for many months now, actually. This was something we had with a seller network when we launched with Mainnet back in the fall. But of course, bridges take 10 minutes, 20 minutes, and so on. People have to wait. Can you have a faster way, right? So, and of course, an on-chain DEX is a very nice way. So the Ocean Rose pool is an on-chain DEX where you can swap some Rose and get Ocean right then and there. And that makes it easy for any Rose holders to get Ocean. And that's probably the primary benefit in the near term. Of course, there's other benefits too. You know, people who like to LP, can LP and then earn rewards that way too. Illuminex has a nice incentives program, et cetera, too. And this pool is on the Illuminex XYZ swap pool. So overall, that's the main benefits. It really helps onboarding. But then, of course, you know, just people could also just hold, you know, LP tokens if they want. And that's a good way to expose yourself to both tokens at once, too. Mate, anything to add?
Yeah, I would just add that this was a great idea. You know, Trent, I really like how you're always, you know, you have in mind the UX of the user, right? And here you were thinking about, you know, how does a user get onboarded on Predictor? And this really simplifies the way to get Rose and Ocean. And it would be a shame, you know, for the tokens to just sit on the balance sheets of the foundations, but here they're put to good use. You know, there's more liquidity depth, you know, market depth, so people can trade without you know, high slippage, and I think it really brings out the best of the whole token swap, right? So there's alignment between the organization, plus the users benefit by having a deep liquidity pool where they can swap the tokens for their needs on Sapphire in terms of Rose or Ocean.
I agree. The onboarding experience is very important, and I, from my perspective at least, like, everything is really nice, and users have a lot of opportunities. So these were kind of my questions for the both of you, but we do have a lot of questions from our community. As I said, we shared the forum before the event, and Trent, if you want, I can start with the questions that are addressed for Ocean Protocol, if that's okay with you, and then I can jump to Mate.
Sure.
Okay, so first question is, can you talk more about Ocean's plans for 2024?
Sure, my pleasure. So really there's three pillars, three prongs of directions. You know, the name of the game for Ocean Protocol ultimately is to level the playing field for data and AI overall, right? And within that, though, you know, we take that high level vision and mission and transform it into, you know, day to day tasks for what our core team does and our community. And there's many steps in between. And at sort of, you know, the middle layer, if you will, our plans for the year are the following three prongs: to accelerate Predictor, to launch a compute to data springboard, and to launch Ocean Enterprise, plus ongoing maintenance of several smaller projects, et cetera. So Predictor we've talked about. To accelerate, this comes down to us working internally, dogfooding for ourselves to make money trading internally. And then with all those, and we've been doing this actually intensively for many months now, and then to pass on the learnings to our users such that our users can make serious money trading as well. And if users can make serious money trading, then it draws more and more users over time, right? And they, of course, are buying the feeds. But once they are buying the feeds, that money can lead to the predictors, which take a cut of the sales, right? They share among the sales together. And so we will, you know, make the pricing more dynamic such that the predictors get paid really what the data is worth. And then once that's hit, then just simply scaling up, right? Adding more tokens. Right now we have the top 10 tokens by market cap on Binance, but we will extend to top 100 tokens, top 1,000 tokens, you know, the top several exchanges for each of those tokens. And instead of just closed prices, eventually we'll also have volume, volatility, and more, right? So that'll expand to on the order of 10,000 or 50,000 feeds just for DeFi. Beyond that too, you know, we see lots of opportunities beyond DeFi for things like weather prediction. And beyond. And, you know, ultimately, one of the visions is, which we really truly aim to get for, is to have weather prediction for every square kilometer on the planet. That's what, 500 million square kilometers, where it's prediction of precipitation, humidity, pressure, and more. And from that, that not only helps, you know, weather prediction, but it also, you know, can pay for itself via more interesting for finance, but then also planning logistics and many more things. And ultimately, the sort of killer app for this is use that to train a world model. So, you know, we have world models right now that are built on, you know, language and stuff from the internet. But what about a world model from the world itself, right? So we call this world models. And that's where Predictor is headed. And, you know, we're using Predictor as the horse to drive this, but we're not just stopping at, you know, 10 feeds on DeFi. We have big plans for this. And, you know, we're very excited with that. And that's where the Predictor team is headed. Complementary to this, for years, we've had another privacy preserving technology in Ocean called Compute to Data, where, you know, if you have really heavy data or you can't, the data can't leave your premises because, say it's in Europe and it's medical data, it can't leave European soil or otherwise, but you still want to monetize somehow, how can you do that? And Ocean Protocol has something called Compute to Data where you can, well, let the data stay on premise and sell the results of models trained on top or analytics on top. And in between, it's basically decentralized handshaking that Ocean enables. So we built that product several years ago, but we've never really taken the time to make it super easy to use and unlock it for our users. So that's a focus for this year. And then finally, something we've been working with collaborators in the ecosystem, DeltaDAO and enterprises like Daimler, something called Ocean Enterprise. And there's actually many other enterprises as part of this and more. So we've been quietly working on that with these collaborators, and we will be announcing it more heavily and what's going on later in the year. But it's really basically an enterprise ready tech stack of the Ocean stack, which is really about making it really easy to manage access control for data, you know, buying and selling data, sharing it, and all of this, compute to data, all of that. So that's the three prongs: accelerate Predictor, launch compute to data springboard, including making compute to data itself way easier to use, and Ocean Enterprise, while at the same time maintaining things like the data challenges that are ongoing, data farming, and so on. That's what Ocean's up to for 2024. It's an exciting year. We're really, you know, pedal to the metal, and, you know, of course, there's the bull market happening too. So yeah, it's going to be a fun time.
You guys seem to be very busy. Yeah, that's a very exciting roadmap. Next question, I think you kind of already answered it, but I'll ask it anyway in case you want to add anything to it. So could you elaborate on the prediction bots? What is their purpose and how do they work?
Yeah, sure. So so overall, right, in the core mechanics of Ocean Predictor, what you want to do is you can either be a predictor or a trader. If you are a predictor, you want to submit predictions every 5 minutes, a prediction of will Bitcoin go up or down, you know, Bitcoin USDT pair on Binance specifically. But then there's, you know, all 10 other tokens too, Ethereum and Polkadot and more. And we also for 60 minutes, so we have 5 minutes ahead and 60 minutes ahead. So imagine if you're doing this manually, it'll get tedious extremely quickly, right? As well as, you know, how do you come up with the reasoning of whether it'll go up or down? So we said, okay, well, we want people to be able to run bots for this. And so we said, okay, well, you know, put ourselves in the shoes of the data scientist. And myself, I have background, I've been doing AI professionally since the 90s, right? Did a couple of AI startups in the past, they were acquired, blah, blah, blah. So, you know, we're once again dogfooding this for ourselves. And we said, okay, well, we live and breathe Python. So how do we make it really easy for these people, these data scientists, to use their Python skills to run bots that can automatically submit predictions every 5 minutes? And so we have a GitHub repo in the Ocean organization. So at github.com/oceanprotocol/pdr-backend. It's linked directly from predictor.ai in the top right under the run bots link. So inside this repo, it's got two key readmes. One is run prediction bots, and one is to run traders. And basically to run a prediction bot, you can, you know, you go to that readme, and within 5 minutes, you've installed, you know, you've done a Git clone, you've got the thing running, you're doing local simulations where it's got data from Binance that it's showing you what, you know, how much money you can make running over the last, you know, 6 months worth of data, whatever you want, and how much money you can make predicting or trading, right? And it's got pretty plots, all this sort of thing too. So that's running the bots that's first of all, just the simulation. And then from there, you can start running a bot on testnet. We make that easy, it's part of the README. And then from there, once you're comfortable with that, then you can run on mainnet, right? And you know, you can go through that end to end in an hour or two. It's pretty fast, right? And that was on purpose. We really tried to remove the friction, things like, you know, easily getting Ocean tokens from an Ocean faucet. So early in our collaboration with Sapphire, we made sure that there was, with Oasis for Sapphire, we made sure there was, you know, a good Ocean faucet available. as well as, you know, getting ocean tokens on Sapphire mainnet, which we talked about earlier. So that's, you know, the end-to-end of running prediction bots. We've got a really, you know, good onboarding UX for that. And ultimately, at the end of the day, it's about, you know, making money, predicting, right? And the more you stake, then the more you earn, if you're, you know, at least above 50%. And it makes a big difference how accurate you are. So if you're a data scientist and, you know, you have new, you know, cool ideas about different, you have your bag of tricks to try about different AI algorithms, whether it's support vector machines or new data, you know, maybe grabbing sentiment data or data from DEXs in addition to the Binance data and otherwise, just to get an edge on accuracy, then you can earn more, right? So this is all in the service of helping our users to earn more. And then that's prediction bots. And then, of course, we have a similar setup for trading bots. You go to the trading bot, readme, you go through the simulator as well, you run that, you see how that can do. And then you can have your trader bots do, you know, very naive trading, such as, you know, if signal says up, then buy and then sell 5 minutes later, vice versa. But of course, you can put in fancier stuff too. You can make your trading bots, you know, look at the order book in a more fine-grained fashion. You could have your trading bots be smarter by building their own ML models to you know, give guidance on how much to trade, for example, or which trades to pick at all. Maybe you can be much more sparse about it. So it's really tuned towards people who are data scientists, comfortable with Python, and know at least a bit about DeFi. And that's what the bots are about. And we are, you know, you can run these locally from your laptop or whatever. You can run them in the cloud from Azure or other Web 2. Or if you want to really go crazy, you can run it on Web 3 infrastructure too, right? And why not? And, you know, we see over time that a lot of this will probably run on full Web 3, but one step at a time, of course. And the main thing is we want to make sure that our users of running predictor bots and trader bots make money. With that, everything else falls out in a good way.
Oh, thank you for that. That was a very extensive answer. And the next question is a follow-up to this. Will the bot's prediction of accuracy get better the more you run it?
So there's a lot of that depends, right? So overall, the accuracy will get better as you get more practice as a data scientist, right? You will try various things. You'll see what works and what doesn't work. And over time, you will add more and more and more signals, right? So, you know, off the shelf, it has signals from Binance, but we've made it really easy to add signals from other exchanges and whatnot by just changing one line of a YAML file. And then you can also choose, you want to look, when you make a given prediction, do you want to look back, you know, 5 candles or 50 candles? Do you want to have train the model from just the last week's worth of data or the last, you know, half a year's worth of data or what, right? So there's lots of things you can do to play with and to see. So it's really experience more than anything. So that's what will move the needle. And of course, maybe the bot works really awesome for 1 month or 3 months, but then maybe the overall regime changes, you know, going from a bull market to a bear market, and strategies might need to change too. So that's where simulation and backtesting makes a big difference, right? So someone who's, you know, doing this really diligently should be always simulating, monitoring, tracking how they're doing and seeing if they need to keep evolving things. That's how the bot improves over time. It's not sort of experience of the bot, it's experience of the bot runners.
Okay, so it's user dependent. Got it.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah.
Okay, next question it's a bit of a longer question. So Ocean Protocol has a data farming DAO running on Ethereum too. My computer just froze 1 second. To collect data farming rewards for voting escrowed Ocean, one must pay a large amount of its gas fees. My question is, will the data farming ever be migrated to Oasis?
That's a great question. So maybe by background, I'll describe a bit about Ocean data farming first, and then I will answer your question specifically. So Ocean data farming is Ocean's incentives program. We have actually budgeted roughly half of the whole Ocean token supply towards data farming, and spread over decades, it actually follows a Bitcoin-style exponential curve. Once it's sort of fully going, And we've had several sort of burn-in phases towards the getting fully going. We initially launched data farming in 2022, there's weekly rewards that are dispersed. At first, it was just 10,000 ocean. And it's growing for the last 6 months, so actually a year, it's been 150,000 ocean a week. Half of that is to passive data farming, so you can take ocean, lock your ocean into this boat escrowed ocean, VE ocean, you can lock it, and then you get passive rewards. The longer you lock for, the more rewards you get. And you can lock up to 4 years. And the other half of the rewards every week go to active data farming, where people have to do stuff that adds value to the ocean ecosystem. And these days, the two things you can do are curation, so taking some of your locked ocean and pointing it towards assets that have high volume. So this is basically the predictor feeds these days. And the other thing you can do is, if you're already running a prediction bot, a predictor bot to make predictions, then like Mate said, you know, to solve chicken and egg, how do you solve that? And the answer is, actually, I think Mania said it, sorry. The answer is where we have a baseline sales of 37,500 ocean per week. So that's these days about $50,000 worth of ocean every week. Going as sales to the people running the prediction bots. And that's the baseline, right? Of course, any traders come along and make sales, then you can have even higher sales yet. But you have this baseline sales of $50,000 a week, plus the Rose rewards, which also is a nice bump up of a few thousand dollars too. That's ocean data farming. You've got the active and the passive data farming. The passive, you know, you lock ocean, longer you lock, the more you earn. The active, this is where you curate by, you know, pointing your locked ocean to feeds. And you run predictor bots as the sort of benefit there. So you can make more money yet as a predictor bot. That's ocean data farming. The question was, what constraints, what networks does this run on and so on, right? So, and it actually depends on which aspect, whether it's the passive data farming versus the volume data farming versus the predictor data farming. For the predictor data farming, if you want to earn on it, you just do your thing as a running a predictor bot, right? Which is all on Sapphire. For the locking of the ocean itself, all of that is on Ethereum mainnet. And we chose to make it like that for the immediate, like when we launched the thing initially, and for at least the near term, simply because security, you know, bridges themselves have been problematic. You know, when you launched the program, this was in the midst of these big DeFi bridge hacks like Wormhole for Solana and more, right? So we really wanted to be conservative on this. Since that time, we did ask ourselves, did we want to make it where for Predictor, you know, you have to stake ocean with each prediction? Should you be staking VE ocean? The thing is, in this case, you have to have negative signals if you're wrong, right? And we want to have slashing of the ocean. Well, we have slashing. And where, you know, your ocean goes away, but if it's a VE ocean, your ocean can't go away, right? So we could have had liquid staking derivatives and all that, but we didn't bother for this for simplicity reasons. By the way, there is a liquid staking derivative out there called PSG and Ocean. That's another story. So overall, we stayed conservative to keep things simple for security reasons, where VE ocean, locked ocean, is only on Ethereum mainnet right now and for the immediate future. Maybe in 6 months, 1 year, year and a half, that could change. But for at least the next 6 months, it's going to be like this and probably longer. We acknowledge gas fees have become high, right? They weren't so bad 3 months ago, 6 months ago. But now that we're, you know, really into the bull market, they've gotten higher again. Now, there is hope to reduce costs on this. The next Ethereum upgrade is scheduled for early April. So in about 3-4 weeks, called Dencun, D-E-N-C-U-N. And in it, it's got dank sharding. And what that means is that it's going to basically greatly reduce the costs of transaction costs are going to probably go down. Could be as much as 10x. We will see, maybe more. And the heart of it is because Ethereum is going to allow older transactions to kind of not get maintained directly on the chain. So we're hopeful for that. And that will ease the prices of gas fees, hopefully a lot. We'll see, though, you know. I'll believe it when I see it. There was also promises of gas fees going down when proof of stake came along, and we didn't see gas fees drop a huge amount. But maybe they would have been 10x worse if that wasn't there. So who knows? So the summary is that if you want to do locking of ocean into VE ocean, it's on ETH mainnet for the foreseeable future. But fortunately, It looks like the fees are going to drop as much as 10x in the next month. Fingers crossed. But in the medium term, we are open to having VEOcean on other chains as well. And obviously, we work closely with Oasis and Sapphire. So that is definitely on the short list. But we have to balance that with bridge security, because if you've got something locked for 4 years, you better make sure your bridge is really good, right? So I think it'll take more time to for that to mature. Yeah, that's all. But we encourage everyone to go, you know, data farm. And one key thing here, so for the last year, data farming has been 150,000 ocean per week. It's about to double to 300,000 ocean per week in the next phase of data farming, which actually kicks off in 2 days, this Thursday, March 14th. And that's phase two of the main data farming program, Data Farming Main. And 6 months later, it's going to double again to 600,000 ocean per week. And then 6 months after that, another 2x to almost 1.2 million ocean per week. So it's going to get, so our data farming program is getting more and more aggressive over time. And as we will be ratcheting that into the predictor data farming when it makes sense, as it makes sense as well. But it means a 2x for the passive data farming rewards, starting 2 days from now. And then also two more 2x's in the next year. Thanks.
That is very nice. Bitcoin's halving the rewards. Ocean's doubling the rewards.
Yes, we're just to be clear, though, we're doubling the rewards in the near term, and this is the burn-in phase. But then in about 1 year, then it will start to do halvening every 4 years, right? So it then from then on, it follows the Bitcoin-style exponential. But yeah, for the next while, this is really sort of the ratcheting up. And we did this rather than having this very super generous exponential at the very beginning of data farming. And we think that just allows more people to get involved before the thing hits its max. Any of you listening to this call, for example, can get in now and to really take advantage rather than, you know, Satoshi, he owns a huge amount of Bitcoin because, you know, him and maybe one or two other people were the only miners in the early, early days. And that's almost kind of unfair, right? So if we do it like this, then a lot more people can getting the rewards of data farming while we sort of have as part of this burn-in process before the maximum of the exponential is there. Thanks.
Nice. Okay, one other question. What other projects that does Ocean have planned with Oasis given the huge success with Predictor?
Yeah, so first of all, Predictor, we'll be doubling down on this. We are doubling down on it, and the volume, you know, keeps growing exponentially, so that's very exciting. And if we did just that, we should be very, very happy with ourselves because it has a bright, bright, bright future. That said, there is a lot of other opportunity and stuff happening, right? So probably the most obvious stuff happening already is another team that's been a longtime member of the Ocean ecosystem, DeltaDAO. And they've been really awesome collaborators with us, with Gaia-X and the spokes of Gaia-X for various hubs in financial and automotive and so on. And they've been building, you know, their own forks of Ocean Market, et cetera, for these different Gaia-X. Gaia-X is this European-wide data sharing initiative where the governments of Germany and France, et cetera, are involved and dozens of enterprises all throughout Europe, right? So Gaia-X has really been spearheading that from the Ocean ecosystem perspective. And now they are collaborating directly with the Oasis team to basically connect the dots on the Gaia-X enterprise side and leveraging Oasis's confidential EVM technology. And basically it just really helps on certain privacy things for sharing data and so on, yet at the same time leveraging Ocean smart contracts. So, you know, we're very excited. We think that's really great that DeltaDAO and Oasis, the Oasis core team are engaging directly. We're big fans of both teams. So to us, that's a really wonderful marriage. And beyond that, you know, there's lots of other possible things. The Ocean core stack itself could be broadened to be fully deployed to Oasis. We haven't done that yet, simply because we've been focusing on Predictor, and also the DeltaDAO thing is, you know, another reason that it hasn't. So overall, and beyond, we see lots of potential, right? So we do see always, though, it makes sense one step at a time. So, you know, we've really focused on making Predictor great and a nice success. And we can call it successful now. It's nice. I think we can. But at the same time, it's still super early days. So, you know, we're hopeful for, you know, 10Xs, 100Xs, 1000Xs for Predictor itself, and then beyond with DeltaDAO and GaiaX and many enterprises there. Thanks.
I met the guys from DeltaDAO and I love them. I love what they're doing. I see we have one more live question. This was just added. And this is the final question for you, Trent. Where do you see Predictor in the next 20 years in terms of AI and DAO?
Yeah, I mean, so AI is going super fast, right? So when we think about something 20 years, our meatbag human brains like to think linearly, but this stuff really is exponential, right? And just like my example before, I said we were overjoyed when Predictor was at, you know, 10K, 100K in volume, and then it kept growing exponentially. So now it's at, you know, 35 million volume daily. My meatbag brain will think, okay, great, you know, it'll be very happy to have, you know, say, you know, 70 million at the end of 2024, but that's not how exponentials work, right? So it's been, it'll be probably a lot higher than that if it keeps growing exponentially. Maybe the exponential won't be as aggressive, but it will get a lot bigger. With that, of course, we will be adding more feeds, like I mentioned. So even, you know, by the end of the year or early into next year, by that time, say, we will have, you know, 1,000, 10,000 or more feeds just for DeFi, right? And it will be ubiquitous in DeFi. And if you want to be a trader, where you're any serious trader, then table stakes is to be buying Ocean prediction feeds, right? Because otherwise you just have no chance at doing trading. So we see that it will be integrated into all the trading Telegram bots. It'll be part of all the trading communities, all of that, right? Ubiquity. But that's just the start, like mentioned. So we see going beyond the DeFi vertical to especially weather, and I didn't mention, but also energy, and these things are tightly related, right? If Texas gets hot, then everyone turns on their air conditioner and it draws down the power grid, right? And then, you know, the people running Texas need to call up the Bitcoin miners in Texas and ask them to turn off the Bitcoin miners for a while. So there's a big relation there. So energy prediction and weather prediction are of great interest to us, and obviously other verticals, logistics and real estate and more. So we plan to explore that more aggressively once we have really definitively scaled out in DeFi. But once you get these predictions for the physical world, weather and energy and more, that starts to be really, really interesting to AI models, right? Like I mentioned, you know, the AI models now from OpenAI, et cetera, they're all trained on you know, text from the internet, where there's a lot of it is contradictory, right? One human says X, another human says Y. So that's why, you know, that's one of the reasons leading to these hallucinations in AI, where these LLMs, they're not quite sure what they're saying. And I ran into a similar problem with my own work in AI back in the mid-2000s. We were using basically generative AI, you call it now. We were using generative AI to automatically design analog circuits. And it would basically hallucinate. It would come up with circuits that it thought was good. But if any, you know, analog circuit designer worth their salt would look at it, they're like, that's garbage for reason X or Y or Z. And we see this all the time. You know, we prompt OpenAI LLM and it comes up with some garbage answer. And we see immediately that it's just garbage, right? But there's another approach to this all, to solve this. There are a few complementary approaches where you can actually get, you know, large-scale world model level AIs that are accurate. One of them is you actually have it more correct by construction. And this was actually the approaches that I was doing in the early 2000s, where it would actually basically learn and draw on human knowledge of how analog circuits work, you know, from the level of transistors to current mirrors to op amps to higher level radios and so on. And that turned out to radically enhance, basically it definitively got rid of the hallucinations, just boom, right? It was also about 10,000 times faster. The second thing is, and this goes back to the, you know, the expansion of Predictor, if you're actually learning on physics grounded data, ground truth physics data, such as, you know, 500 million weather feeds, right? That's like the ultimate set of data you could train a large AI model on, right? So you've got this world model for the world, so a world model. This is where we're heading with Predictor, right? And we'll do that after DeFi. Like, first we'll do DeFi scale out. then we'll do add weather and energy, then we'll scale that up, and then we'll, naturally people are going to be trying to make money on this. Naturally, what will happen is you'll get these larger models, these world models. And like I said, the two things you can do to get really accurate here is have leverage ideas of correct by construction, which is actually dovetails a lot with just physics ground truth data, right? So Elon and others have talked about this too, but with Predictor, we actually have this amazing source of it, right? This 500 million data feeds. And it sounds crazy, but this is where exponentials kick in, right? But the beating heart that will fund this all is what we're starting with is DeFi, right? So bit by bit as it scales out. And it's all these games running on chain, right? So we're going to be pushing Sapphire a lot too. So Oasis folks, right? Be ready for 500 million feeds. there we go, right? And yeah, that's where this is headed, right? But then on top of that, that's, you know, over the next couple of years and beyond, what about 20 years? Well, we're going to get these radically powerful AIs, but we won't even be comparing them to human intelligences, right? There are differently shaped intelligence. They might be smarter than humans in some way and dumber than others, just like, you know, my AI is doing circuit design 10 years ago, 20 years ago. But they're going to be, you know, radically powerful models of the world. And of course, other people are trying to build AIs that are, you know, trying to meet these sort of human behavior and then beyond. But you can do differently shaped intelligences that have great benefit, great utility, that can, you know, be very, very useful for people to make wonderful companies on top. And that's really what we're aiming for with Predictor here, right? So that's endgame in a sense. And, you know, I'm super bullish on AI generally because I think that it can unlock, you know, 1,000, 10,000 new companies. It's really going to be the economic horse that drives the world in the next 20 years. So, you know, we see that with Predictor, we are agents directly in the middle of the arena, but just no one knows it yet. But just watch this exponential take off. And soon enough, people will start to recognize and see that. Thanks.
No, thank you for all the answers, Trent. Amazingly explained. Now I have some questions for you. So first question is, what does Oasis do in AI, and what is your strategy in the AI segment?
Yeah, that's a good question. And I think here with Predictor, it kind of shows itself where I believe, you know, that for AI to really prosper, you know, and in the crypto ethos that we're trying here, you know, decentralization, you know, data sovereignty, kind of way, you have to have solutions like Oasis Sapphire, where you can have on-chain privacy, you know, and you can have people being able to authorize access to their data, have it anonymized here, you know, because for now AI, all of these, you know, ChatGPTs and the likes are basically collecting data or training over a certain data and keeping it in their centralized hubs, right? But with bringing AI and to like crypto and decentralize it here, democratize it as well, I think Sapphire-like runtimes are crucial. And I think we are coming more into the responsible AI, or how we'd like to put it in the past, where you can have, you know, AI that can be trained on personal data without revealing the data, without the users actually relinquishing the ownership of the data, plus potentially even making money off of their data, right? So I think this is kind of the strategy of where we see us positioning AI as being the underlying infrastructure that is needed to be able to have that data to compute over or to train the models.
Yeah, I totally agree with you, Matej. Another question would be, where is the best place to look at upcoming projects or partnerships coming to Oasis? Plus, any particular highlights?
Yeah, I mean, in terms of upcoming projects, we don't like to, you know, reveal what we're working on before things actually get done. You know, we're not the type of organization where we hype before things are more concrete, or you know, there is a certain vision plan of how things will go. So hard to see in advance on what the foundation is working on. But I do see, you know, that there are a lot of projects that are coming up within the community. So I would say, you know, be active in the channels, official ones, unofficial ones. I think for generally the overview of the project, it's very well put together at the Oasis Rose Garden. So they can track the current project there. But yeah, for upcoming projects, partnerships, we like to keep a lid on it. So there's, you know, there's until we have, you know, confirmation that there is something that we can work together, it's, I think it's best that it's kept within, you know, within the foundation. So there's not any, let's say, any sourness to it if things don't actually go as planned, right? But we are very active, so there are going to be a lot of, so we have quite a few projects in the pipeline that I'm excited about. And yeah, we'll let the community know as soon as we have more concrete plans on how we can work with them on, you know, bringing privacy to their products.
Yeah, and I would just add to that and suggest, like, keep an eye out on our socials, on our Twitter. That's where we exactly announce things first. And yeah, of course, we have the community garden for the ecosystem, the already existing ecosystem projects. You can check them out there. Okay, another question. Now that other projects are moving on to fully homomorphic encryption, with the Will Oasis's focus on TEs become obsolete?
Yeah, interesting questions. Yeah, I think here, you know, you have a lot of options when it comes to how you enable privacy. As Trent mentioned at the beginning, right? They were looking at fully homomorphic. They were looking at, you know, MPC stuff, off-chain, on-chain. We believe here, you know, that these are a good trade-off, you know, where you have a lot of flexibility of what you can do, and at the same time, a lot of security with it. So Intel SGX currently being used as, you know, for the TEs, has been battle tested, you know, quite a bit in the past, and it came out as the best, you know, that we have now in the market. Currently no known exploits, you know, that could threaten the you know, credibility of TEs. So I'd say we are staying the course with TEs. We believe these have a bright future, but all, like other privacy, you know, technology is compatible for more defense in depth, right? So you could add ZK stuff to TEs, right? So that you enable, you know, if there's an attack and, you know, one mechanism fails, you have another one that can continue to throttle the attack, right? So I think here we shouldn't be looking at exclusive, you know, this is just FHE, this is TE, you need to decide between one or the other, right? But I think there's a lot of technology that's actually compatible with TEs, and we are working on some of this stuff as well to bring to, you know, enable that defense in depth. So yeah, Oasis is staying the course with TEs, but potentially adding additional privacy features.
Yeah, we are looking into implementing more security layers and other confidential compute environments implementations, such as Intel TDX, Amazon's Enclave, and NVIDIA TEs.
Oh, for sure, yeah. For sure.
Okay, another question. Could you tell us about the importance of the Rose token within the ecosystem and all the collaborations you are developing? But I guess you already talked about the collaborations.
Yeah, on the collaboration side, you know, you see them as they come. As you said, you know, follow our socials to be up to date there. But in terms of, you know, the importance of the token for the ecosystem, you can't really do anything on Oasis, Sapphire, Emerald, you know, Cypher, whichever runtime, without Rose tokens, right? It's the main gas token. So I would say as a Rose token holder, the best is, you know, to go into the ecosystem, try the dApps, you know, see if there's any product that they find benefit in. If that's Predictor, you know, maybe they can look into their Predictor feeds and utilize the Rose tokens there, or maybe there's some LPing on DEX. There are multiple avenues there people can find. Maybe there's a game, right, that they want to engage with. So that's, I would say, the utility of Rose is really, you know, in being used on the network to enable, you know, the decentralized manner. Plus, you know, people can also stake it to enhance security of the network. So there are many ways that the token is utilized across the ecosystem and that people can engage with.
Yeah, we do have a validator set of 120 node validators, so you can always find a good validator to stake your tokens with. Okay, another question. Will Oasis support the Ethereum DenCon upgrade?
Yeah, this I think is more for the layer twos, as even though we are EVM compatible and we have the Oasis privacy layer, which can be utilized by Ethereum projects and other layer two projects, we are not committing any data to Ethereum. So this upgrade doesn't really apply to us here, as far as my understanding is. So no, there's nothing for us to support on the latest Ethereum upgrade proposal yet.
Yeah, that's what I understand as well. Our finality is on the consensus layers.
Exactly.
This is a question that has been asked many times, but I'll let you answer it, Matej, but I know it doesn't, like, it's not dependent on us. Are there any plans for Sapphire to set up a function that allows EVM transfers directly to a centralized exchange?
Yeah. So we are aware that that is currently a hurdle in terms of UX, where, you know, people coming from centralized exchange to Sapphire, they need to go through the consensus layer to be able to get Rose on Sapphire. So we are aware of that, and we are looking to enable that functionality. But yeah, currently, unfortunately, it's not yet available. We'll see how things progress this year, but we are looking at that issue. And also, it's in the plans to try to resolve it. But yeah, it's not completely up to us. There's a certain part that depends on the decentralized exchanges, how they integrate with the network. But yeah, I would just say we see the issue and we hear you guys, and yeah, we'll work on this.
Okay, and last question for you, Matej, that kind of wraps up all the questions. Does Sapphire's confidential randomness have any part to play in Predictor? Because the price is always fluctuating in an inherently volatile market.
Yeah, I mean, Trent explained it in that there's very little randomness in their prediction, but more, you know, machine learning and utilizing the data that you have to try to predict the correct market prices. So I would say, yeah, confidential randomness doesn't play a role, but maybe somebody could try to develop a bot that uses the confidential randomness and see how it performs compared to the ones that kind of try to do it over data. Maybe Trent, you can share some input here.
Yeah, I think it's just different parts of the stack, right, where randomness can play in. Sure, there's random fluctuations. If you like, the prices change. You could call it random fluctuations, or you can, or you know, you can also simply say that those prices change as a result of many, many signals that to the human eye it appears random, right? But there actually is some signal in those signals, of course, because otherwise you wouldn't be able to predict it. And, you know, we have lots of results showing that you can, you know, predict up or down with anywhere from 50.5 to 56, 57% accuracy, right? And that's a clear sign of signal. And that's even from just looking at, you know, candle price data, right? Then one slice of randomness. The randomness that I was asked about here is with this new random number generation feature of Sapphire. There isn't, with a predictor product, there isn't a need for that right now, but you never know with future iterations of the predictor product and the smart contracts, maybe it will come in handy at some point.
Yeah, thanks for chipping in.
Thank you both. That kind of wraps up our Twitter spaces for today. And of course, I'll leave you with closing thoughts. But from my side, as updates, we have the next Meet the Team. We're inviting Harry Roberts, our amazing engineer. It's on Thursday, 4 p.m. CET. Make sure you don't miss it. I think it's going to be a very interesting one. And as for future plans, Mateo probably mentions this as well, but yeah, we'll be at in Amsterdam at ITDAM. We're both going to be there. Ocean's going to be there as well. And we might have some nice surprises in terms of limited collaborative swag for the people that are going to be there. But yeah, I'll leave you guys to it with some clothing thoughts.
From my side, thank you very much, everyone, for joining in on this and for the excellent questions and the interest in Ocean Predictor and in Sapphire. Thanks to the Oasis Sapphire team for being great collaborators. And, you know, I guess two calls to action. Go try Predictor, right? Go to predictor.ai, two O's, predictor.ai, and you can just check out. You can see the prediction feeds there. The Bitcoin feed is free, so you can see the up-down predictions. You can see the accuracies. And then, you know, run bots, click on run bots and go for it, right? See if you can make some money. And then also, like mentioned, data farming rewards will be starting to double in 2 weeks. That's so we'll have a bit of a launcher on that with Ocean 2. Thanks.
Yeah, I want to say thank you to everyone joining in as well. This was a great space. There's always a lot of new insight, you know, from Trent. About Predictor, about Ocean, you know, and their plans. So happy to hear those. And as Min has said, yeah, we kicked off the conference season in Denver, and we're continuing now in Amsterdam. We're going to be one of the main sponsors there. So, or the main sponsor there. So, yeah, please, if you do have any availability, come say hi. We would be happy to meet with you guys there. And then we'll continue our roadshow throughout the year. So yeah, if you can make it there, hopefully we can see each other at one of the next events.
Thank you both, and thank you everyone for attending. Have a lovely rest of the day.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right.